107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. By a side programming note, Midday Mobile on the road today, on the battleship today, on the fantail of the USS Alabama. It is, got to do radio shows in some cool places over the years, but it is, as running right now, my favorite place to do a radio show is, and we take the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, would you call that a van or a bus or the vehicle? It's a Sprinter van.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a big van, but it's our radio studio. And we drive that joker up. We go up the gangplank you walk up to get on the USS Alabama and then navigate there through the gun turrets, get on the fantail and park it and do our show there. So I'll be on till 1, then Scuttlebutt Boys take over at 1.
Yeah, and show up early and watch Sean navigate.
Watch me sweat.
Sprinter van onto the deck. And so I know you're doing an hour of Midday Mobile, but you'll get in that extra hour of radio tonight when you're on What's Working with Cam Marston.
Yeah, that has been mentioned, and we'll talk with Cam. So I'm, tonight at 6, and I'm trying to remember exactly. Somebody was asking me last night, what did you talk about? And I said, we recorded that a while ago. I don't know. So it'll be a surprise to me as well. That comes on at 6 tonight, so I'll be on again this evening. All right, it is a Wednesday. That's when we check in with our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and, of course, the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. So much to talk about here, and I want to run through a couple things. We're going to get to some state news in just a second, but let's take a look at Washington and a couple things. First of all, you had a tweet out that you said, no matter what happens to Trump, etc., I believe we're in the twilight of Pelosi's speakership. You think this is going to be the undoing of Pelosi?
I don't see how she goes forward, because one of the two paths, she burns her moderates in the pursuit of impeachment to appease a left-wing base, or she goes the other way and she stops short of impeachment and upsets the left-wing base. So there's not really a good winning formula here for Pelosi. Right now she's able to have it both ways. It's an impeachment inquiry, and it's not full-fledged impeachment. So her members that are from swing districts that Trump won in 2018 could go say, well, we didn't really do impeachment, and that's sort of what they could say. And then you still have the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others on the left that will say, this is we're working toward impeachment. So at some point, you get to decide, you got to actually vote for articles of impeachment or not.
Okay, if it's not Pelosi, then whom? Who would be the, right now, if you had to call Vegas and lay some money on it, who would be the speaker?
That's tough. I don't think, Steny Hoyer would probably want it. He's the House Majority Leader. But I think he's more, a little too moderate for most Democrats. He does come on the wing of the sort of the more moderate Democrat, and then you go down to the leadership. Certainly, there's James Clyburn, the South Carolina Democrat, Congressional Black Caucus. I don't know if he's interested or not, but once you get past that point, then I think you got to start kind of looking around. Maybe look at who's chairing some of these committees. I certainly don't think it's Nadler or Schiff or anybody like that, but there are other prominent Democrats in the House of Representatives, I think, that given the opportunity, will step up.
You know, it's interesting to think about this. You brought up kind of a new thought process for me. The more collateral damage, other than President Trump with his impeachment inquiry. So now we have Nancy Pelosi. I think we've talked about Joe Biden. Joe Biden in this is not faring well, right? This discussion's hurting his poll numbers.
Well, here's something to think about, Sean. We've been talking about impeachment for what? Seriously talk about impeachment for the last month or so, as it pertains to this whole Ukraine thing. On the other hand, how much time are we spending talking about the pancake breakfast in Nashua or the Ames steak fry and all these great Democratic candidates? I haven't seen very much about that. And it almost makes me wonder, is that maybe on purpose? They know that the candidates, they don't have a Bill Clinton playing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall, or they don't have a Hope and Change Barack Obama rock star like that. They have kind of a ho-hum slate of candidates, and they're not going to win on their merits. They're going to have to win, Democrats, that is, are going to have to win by attacking Donald Trump.
And one of the only big news to come from those Democrat candidates was this last week when Bernie Sanders reportedly had the heart attack, was off the campaign trail for a while. What does that mean to his chance at winning this election?
I mean, it went from really slim to not at all. I don't think that he's a – I think he's a guy – the way we kind of look at Roy Moore here at Alabama, he's got a high floor, low ceiling. He's not. He's got his cult following, but you know, there's too many people in the Democratic establishment that would, you know, they're not going to nominate Bernie Sanders. I still think he runs as a guy that wants to kind of promote the socialist agenda, but with his health problems, that is an easy, low-hanging fruit for the other candidates, I believe.
Well, okay, let's talk about the other candidate. You know, I'd love to play this game in Alabama politics, so let's play it on a national level. So if Bernie's not seen as a contender, will he lose those supporters? Will they say, well, he has no chance of winning? And if he does, where do they go? I mean, do they go to Elizabeth Warren? Is that the closest facsimile of Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I think so. They may go other places, but Elizabeth Warren offers the best opportunity to get the White House and promote at least parts of a Bernie Sanders-like agenda. She's not full-fledged Bernie Sanders. I think Bernie Sanders is more populist than she is. I think she's kind of like the textbook, I don't know how to describe her. She's got like a 10-point plan mm-hmm. for everything, mm-hmm. right? She's not speaking in platitudes. She's not particularly inspiring on the campaign trail. And, she makes me think, well, are we going to really see a Donald Trump versus the high school librarian kind of presidential race?
And the news with Elizabeth Warren this week seems like she might have been caught in another lie. A story she's been talking about on the campaign trail and in debates and was about when she lost or quit her teaching job. She says that it was because she became pregnant, and I think this was back in 2001. She says she became pregnant, and because of that, the job was offered to someone else, when some fact-checkers looked into that and said that the school actually offered her the job, and she just decided to quit. Have you seen that at all,
Jeff? There's a lot of holes in Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. There's a lot of holes in Elizabeth Warren's story, and I do... I just wonder, like, how much more is to come? Where is this coming from? And it's like one of those situations where it doesn't feel like she should be a natural front runner. She seems not like a fringe candidate, but like a mid-tier candidate, like an Amy Klobuchar or a Cory Booker. And she's leading this thing. And she came out of a failed bid to lead the Consumer Protection Bureau. And all of a sudden, she's U.S. Senator, and now she's about to be President of the United States. What, you know, she doesn't really have a public life until about 5, 6, 7 years ago. Before that, what was it all about? I think there's so many unknowns there. With all those unknowns, what is the possibility that there are more of these type of stories, these holes in her personal story?
I was also surprised to learn, reading up on Elizabeth Warren, she was a registered Republican until 1995. Talk about a shift in politics. She was voting for Republicans until 1995, and then once she actually got into politics, everything changed for Elizabeth Warren.
I mean, you say for Donald Trump. Well, what was he, Democrat, mm-hmm. Reform
point,
Party, Republican? So that's a tough one, but I mean, who under the local politics of wherever she was at the time may have lent itself to be you voted in Republican primaries if you want to choose who is going to win. It's just like in Alabama, if you're a Democrat, well, you're probably still going to vote in a Republican primary.
There you go. Coming right back, more with Jeff Poor. You can check out, I will send it out on the Twitter feed, his Yellowhammer article, Merrill, as in Secretary of State and candidate for Senate John Merrill, doubles down on comprehensive immigration reform, calls for full legal employment status path for illegal aliens. Say what? We'll talk to Jeff about that when we get back. Y'all stay close. 822 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Morning. Sean and Dalton. Dr. Bill's got our forecast coming up. Kane will keep us updated with traffic. And we're talking to our buddy Jeff Poore. Of course, Beltway Beat in Lanyap. You can check him out. Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. And oddly enough, he's hosted the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN in Huntsville. And speaking of Yellowhammer, your article came out a few days ago about Secretary of State and Senate candidate John Merrill and comprehensive immigration reform. What, walk us through, first of all, what's the definition of comprehensive immigration reform?
I think it means anything you want it to mean. But it's kind of a generic term saying we need to overhaul the immigration system. But traditionally, comprehensive immigration reform has meant we're going to overhaul it in a way that has some kind of amnesty or allows for some kind of legal status for those here that came here illegally, things of that nature, because comprehensive immigration reform will require a compromise. And what's the compromise? Most conservatives want border security, and Democrats get legal status for those here legally. That's what comprehensive immigration reform has come to mean.
Okay, so if somebody comes in illegally, they break the law, and there's a path that doesn't involve them leaving the United States.
If they so choose, right? Now, in Merrill's case, it's not citizenship.
It's, no, but they stay. They stay. They don't get they don't get deported.
Yeah, and instead they get to stay here and work. And work because, well, guys, we really need these low-skilled laborers or whatever. You just don't understand that we need more workers, and that's the priority.
That seems just strategically for Secretary of State Senate candidate John Merrill to take that. It seems like I don't get that in a Republican primary why he would go there.
He went there. First, he went there on my radio show originally, and let's kind of hash this out a little. But then he took it. So I was out last Friday, had a guest host on Will Hampson, and he told him he wanted to go. He went back into it, talking about immigration being one of the key issues he's heard about on the campaign trail. And then he starts talking about the virtues of his idea, which is, as I just put it to you, let's let the people here illegally get legal status, but or some kind of legal working status. That will allow for them to pay into the system. You know, that will make the employer pay into the system. That will force them to pay payroll taxes. And I just like to point this out, guys. For all his years in the United States Senate, this was something Jeff Sessions fought. This is a guy running for Jeff Sessions' old seat that is talking about letting lawbreakers stay here and work, and all the things it does depresses wages, it burdens our infrastructure, the schools, the hospitals, roads, bridges, and it puts a unnecessary burden on a lot of small communities. It's not like Mobile. We're talking smaller towns like Russellville, like Albertville, Audiana, places like that that really don't have bilingual teachers and things of that nature that can handle an influx of immigrants from another country.
Just as a political tact, I don't understand it. I mean, and hopefully people will campaign on their true beliefs, but I mean, I can see the lay of the land in this Alabama Senate race, and like you said, doing a 180 from what was the hallmark of then-Senator Sessions' platform, and something that is just not going to resonate in a, very positive Trump Alabama. I don't get why he goes there or why he doubles down. Like you said, he doubles down on this.
Yeah, he absolutely doubles down. And he didn't, if you have the opportunity to check out the clip on yellowhammernews.com, he's very confrontational about doubling down on it. He believes that this is the way to do it. And I think if you're looking for something that differentiates all of these candidates from one another, this may be one of the biggest.
Okay, let's just talk some real Alabama politics here, because people have said Secretary of State John Merrill is, and he would dispute this on the air with us, but he is running in the Senate campaign not because he thinks he can win, but it sets him up and more name ID for an election yet to come. This kind of thing is the things that are drummed back up when you're running for whatever office.
So when I talk to people in politics in Alabama, and I ask, well, what do you think he's getting at here? Initially, people said, well, he's just playing for that alpha vote, playing for the alpha endorsement, Alabama Farmers Federation. But he did it 2 days before they came out with their endorsement. Okay, the endorsement comes and goes, and a few days later, he's back on the radio, and he says the same thing.
Yeah.
So is he playing for maybe that chamber of commerce or with the business community? I don't know. Is this a long game thing, or is this really he sees let Roy Moore, Bradley Byrne, Arnold Mooney, and this goober up in Winston County, Stanley Adair, fight for the right wing vote, and I'm going to go for the more moderate or the more mainstream
And I see that as having, okay, this is the lane that's open, so let's take this lane. But if this is really not a, and I want to say this because it would be unfair to him, but if this is not a full campaign for Senate, this is a setup for something down the road where you may be able to dominate the grassroots conservative Trump lane. Right, you've now encumbered yourself going forward.
Well, what would that be, though?
We'll
say it's governor, and let's say Ivy is out after this. Who is he going to be running against?
Will Ainsworth.
Will Ainsworth's going to clean his clock. I that's the way I mean, right now, seeing here today, well, Ainsworth is going to be well-funded, a sitting lieutenant governor, and, I mean, he could self-finance. He doesn't have to go through the problem of fundraising. And the one thing we've learned from this campaign, and this is true for all the candidates, they're not particularly good fundraisers. Bradley Byrne is doing well because of virtue of being in the Beltway. But the other candidates, even Tommy Tuberville, who is like apparently, if you believe these polls, has a 20-point lead, is having a difficult time fundraising because they're just not able to convince a lot of the money is just staying on the sidelines because they don't know which way this thing is going to go.
Hey, by the way, speaking of which, am I the only one that's not conceding the Senate race for Tommy Tuberville yet? It sounds like everybody else that does what we do has. So
no, you can't do that. You can't do that because, well, here's what's going to happen. Even if Tommy Tuberville has a big runoff, a big primary, then there's the runoff. The runoff will not have Trump on the ballot. It's a four-week sprint. And as I said previously, Tommy Tuberville hasn't shown the ability to raise money, whereas Bradley Byrne can. And Bradley Byrne can go in and carpet bomb Mobile, Montgomery, and Birmingham with advertising. And he'll have that bonus of that potential runoff at AL1. If Bradley's in the runoff, he's got a shot at Tommy Tuberville because all of Tommy Tuberville's weaknesses are the ones where Bradley Byrne has strengths.
There we go. There's so much I want to talk about. We'll have to get you back on soon because it's going to be interesting. I mean, you and I both talked the other day to State Senator Cam Ward, and he was talking about his run for Alabama Supreme Court. But I mean, he is knee deep in this prison reform that I think is going to dominate session coming up in the new year.
Well, and real quick, I'll just say I think they're going to do a special session like they did the Re-Alabama Act for that.
And he was saying maybe that's what would happen, that they would be like they gavel into regular session and gavel right into special.
Yeah, and then they'll just cram it through in a few days, and there won't be the debate, there won't be all the parts of it like would be for any other big thing during a general session.
All right, Jeff, remind folks if they want to reach out to you online, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
And it's always great talking to him, Jeff Poor, and getting the update. We're going to talk to you when we come back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Do you think I'm going to have time to go back to that story from Okaloosa County, the guy that Triple J, tried to give the cops a slip when he put on a doctor's pair of scrubs and a stethoscope?
I sure hope you can get back to that story.
It is my favorite story of the day. We'll have to come back to that one as well. All right, coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings.
Thanks, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody. What a great morning it is. This cool weather feels good, just like car buying weather.
Some car buying weather. And if somebody's wanting to enjoy the weather, get out there to the lot at McConnell Automotive. What's good right now, Louis?
Man, we have got a great selection of used cars. We've got Volvos, we got Toyotas, we got Buicks, GMCs, Fords, just about whatever anybody needs or everybody's looking for. Also, check us out. I haven't said this on McConnellAutomotive.com. We've got a great little website. You can find stuff there. Or call the used car department, 476-4141. Like I said, we got some three-quarter ton diesels. Got a dually sitting out there I'm looking at. Mm. Plenty of four-wheel drives, hunting season right around the corner. So come on by and see us. We'll be here all day from right now till about 7 tonight. So come check us out. Or like I said, check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, you got something for everybody. And you guys also buy cars from the customer. How
yes,
can they
sir.
Get that done?
All you
got
to do is call Gene or I. That's Gene Stuckey. And call up 476-4141. Ask for us. Give us the VIN number and the miles, and we'll buy it from you right as you're sitting on the couch or sitting in the hunting stand, whatever you want to do.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
All right. Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You can go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. This is like a... it's not behind the music, it's the rest of the story segment here.
Right.
You know, like there might have been a famous radio guy do that.
I think I heard that on the radio
before. Some point in the past. So yesterday, we talked like we do on Tuesdays with Quinn Hillier, and at the end of our conversation with Quinn Hillier, we were heading into, let me explain something for a second, we're heading into the bottom of the hour break, which is the one that comes around 30 minutes after the hour. That's when we take news from the network. That news comes up no matter what. You'll hear people talk about a hard break in this business. There's a hard break usually around 30-something and a hard break at the end of the hour because the network news comes in whether you want it or not. Here it comes, right? Yeah. It's going to be on.
Bringing on the hard break.
Right. You can't keep pushing things off or kind of moving things around. So we're coming up on that. That ends the segment. And we were talking with Quinn, and I heard a dial tone, and I said, well, I think Quinn just hung up on me. For the first time ever, Quinn hung up on me. And it sounds like that's not what was... you did hang up on me, Quinn, but you weren't hanging up on me, like, other than just hanging up the phone, right?
Right. I was talking, and then you said, and we've got to go, and then the music came on a lot louder than it usually does.
And that's my cue that we're getting. That's my cue. When you hear that happen, that means we got like 10 seconds left when I really right. pumped the music down the phone.
Exactly. Well, the music came on so much louder in my phone than it usually does that I thought I was completely gone. And so I said, oh, I hung up because I thought I was sort of disconnected anyway.
Okay.
So I wasn't hanging up on you because I was angry at you. I was responding to the cues I heard in my ear, and I thought I had been, frankly, I thought I had been cut off, although I knew, I understood why I was cut off because we were running out of time, but I thought I'd been cut off, and I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't get to finish my sentence.
So there we go. So there is the, so I interpreted that as being hung up on. You interpreted as you were already off and you were finished with the phone call. So, because I know you got emails, we got some communications yesterday between folks that were worried about what went down.
Mm. I had no idea that you thought, much less had said on the air, that I hung up on you until about a half hour later. I looked at my email and one of my friends said, it didn't sound to me like you hung up on him, but Sean said you did, and a lot of people apparently think you did, and you better, if you didn't intend to hang up, you better get back in touch with Sean. I said, oh, my God. So I immediately shot a note off to you and said, I'm sorry, but I certainly didn't mean to do that. So the lesson here is that sometimes a hard break can cause heartbreak.
There it is. See, Quinn, I thought that you just had an appointment you had to make. What if I told you we have a whistleblower who was there at the scene and said you were indeed upset, and that's why you hung up?
The whistleblower would clearly be a pro-Trump, pro-Pelosi person who therefore hates me because I'm against both of them.
I'm waiting to find that person.
No matter what evidence the whistleblower provides, you can't believe it because the evidence isn't important. What's important is the whistleblower's identity.
Right. All right. So we have now settled that for everybody who was wondering. Quinn did not hang. He hung up, but did not hang up on me.
Correct. That's a perfect distinction. And now that we've completely worn out that topic. You know, I'm sort of angry at you, and I think I'm going to hang up. No.
Yeah, so let's see what that would sound like. We'll leave the phone up, and Quinn is now going to hang up on us.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up on you. Like, I mean, I'm really going to...
There it is. Here, that's the sound.
That's what it sounds like.
Quinn's hung up on me.
That's what I heard yesterday.
Yeah, she's hung up on me. All right, so phone number 343-0106. If you want to hang up on me, you can. 343-0106.
Don't just call in to hang up. I mean, that would just be annoying.
It's a waste of time. Yes. All right, can I, before the break, I want to get this in. We can talk about several other things we've talked about this hour, but this is one of these moments in time, one of these stories that I feel like it's my job to bring you things that, not even just the main news stories of the day, like the top stories you'll find at FMTalk1065.com or here in our news reports throughout the morning. This is one of these stories that is reported. Our news partners at WKRG did. I don't know if they focused on it as much as I did, but it caught my attention.
Well, that's why you're the a hero in the community, because you bring important stories like these to light.
All right, so let's roll this. This is from WKRG. A story is set up by my friend Roseanne Haven. And then we go to their correspondent in Okaloosa County here. This is a story of the man I've called Triple J. Triple J. So let's roll that.
Selling drugs near a school is now in more trouble. Okaloosa County deputies say J.
What happened? See, this is what happens. This is what why I can't ever take the audio. There we go.
A man charged with selling drugs near a school is now in more trouble. Okaloosa County deputies say James Jenkins tried to make a...
Really? This is almost like trying to listen to the Mobile City Council meeting.
They're hanging up on you right
Which,
now.
By the way, Mobile City Council meeting was like offline yesterday. I think they went on for like 5 hours or something. Can we add it back?
As a doctor, News 5's Cody Long has more from Crestview.
Deputies brought the man here to North Okaloosa Medical Center to be evaluated after he started complaining of chest pain. He is 71-year-old James Jenkins Jr. from Fort Walton Beach. He had an active warrant for selling opium within 1,000 feet of a school. Deputies pulled him over on Stillwell Boulevard, and he was brought here to the hospital. While waiting for discharge paperwork to be finished, deputies say Jenkins left his room dressed as a doctor, wearing blue scrubs and a stethoscope, and he ran out of the emergency room doors. Deputies say he ignored their commands to stop, but he was quickly taken back into custody. The hospital staff says the scrubs did not belong to them. Jenkins told the staff that someone brought the scrubs to him. And now, in addition to that narcotics charge, he's also charged with resisting arrest and escape. Reporting in Crestview, I'm Cody Long to WKRG News 5.
All right, so Cody with the report there. Okay, so Triple J, James Jenkins Jr., I've dubbed him Triple J. He, first of all, he's selling opium.
What year is this?
It's just like, I mean, he didn't say opiate. And I'm reading the copy, too, reading the printed words here, and it's opium.
Not eights.
Like, I mean, English poets and Chinese opium dens and, like, opium.
Yeah, the stuff that they used to smoke.
All right, so he's selling opium, which is maybe he's a 71-year-old drug dealer they're accusing him of, so maybe it's old school stuff. So he's selling opium, Triple J is. They nab him, right? So Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office gets him. They take him to the hospital where, you asked this question earlier this morning, was this a long thought out plan that Triple J had, that if he ever did get nabbed, he would feign a heart attack or something, or chest pain, go to the hospital, and then use some scrubs and a stethoscope, because you know nobody but a doctor can have a stethoscope.
Of course, they give it to you when you graduate.
to be able to slip out unnoticed. Or was this something that came up? You thought maybe this is a long thought out plan.
Yeah, like he's had this in his back pocket, the ace up his sleeve.
If they ever get me, those coppers.
He knew that they were going to get him for opium one day. He was just prepared. What was the call-in tip? How did the police find out? Like, they got a tip that someone was selling opium out there.
It's that's so very odd to me. And then the fact that he has this plan, maybe, or he just thought of it on the fly, has the chest pains, they take him to the hospital, and then he slips into the scrubs and grabs the stethoscope.
See, where he went wrong, he needed a prescription pad.
That's right.
He should have had all of the tools that your doctor walks around with, and he didn't have the prescription pad. If he did, when they pulled him over, he probably could have just written on the prescription pad, like, you can't arrest me, I'm a doctor.
I'm prescribing opium, because it's good for stuff. But yeah, so old Triple J somehow finds the scrubs, puts the stethoscope on, and it attempts to make his break out of the hospital emergency room there. There's a lot going on in this story. It is one that caught my attention.
Yeah, so, I mean, I
so
love
if that's
this.
Your plan, if you're a ne'er-do-well out there and you're thinking, if they ever get me, those coppers, I'm going to feign some kind of chest pain and I'm going to go get in some scrubs and a stethoscope and walk right by them, they're on to you. They're on to you. All right, 8:47, we're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings. Right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 to double down on what our buddy Tom Claxton had to say. We are out at the USS Alabama today doing 1 hour of Midday Mobile and 1 hour of the Scuttlebutt. We talk about all the great things going down out at Battleship Memorial Park. Come see us. Should be a good time. We've got the new run of FM Talk 106.5 Huggers, so we'll hook you up with those as well. And I'll have a little time to visit after 1 o'clock, which usually is kind of a tough thing when I'm doing a show. I want to visit with folks, but I get back on the air. I just get to, from 1 to 2, I just get to watch the Scuttlebutt boys do their thing.
You can throw popcorn at them?
I have.
Try to mess with them?
I have. I may or may not have tried to mess with them the whole time they're doing the show. It's mature of me.
Mm-hmm. You know,
maybe
they're
not
Marines.
Today. I do know that, and I take my life into my own hands with those two, but it's worthwhile. All right. Hey, by the way, too, David, good point. On the text line, David said, let's see it right here, about our would-be, Triple J, our would-be escapee from the law. He said the reason why Triple J did not get away with his escape, even though he had some scrubs and a stethoscope, he did not have a face mask.
Mm.
He's talking about, you know, one of those face masks you tie behind your surgical cap thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have put that on and come out of there doing lots of, like, nurse, stat, stethoscope, syringe.
Wrench.
Just yelling things and then walked right out. But he didn't. But Triple J busted for selling opium.
Wow, crazy story.
Opium. All right, 8:54, FM Talk 106.5. Go to the phones, and Thomas in Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Dalton. Thank you for having me on.
Pleasure.
You know, I thought maybe that guy should get some crutches or a wheelchair. He probably could outrun them in a wheelchair.
No, I'm thinking, you do that, you get attention. But if you rock out like walk out like Busy Doctor and be like, I'm not the suspect, I have a stethoscope.
I know, and your scrubs are only halfway down to your knees, you know, and you got thongs. I mean, not thongs. Thing you put on your feet.
The flip-flops.
Your toes stick out of. Mm.
Yeah, sandals.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez. I know, I heard a story about this criminal in Florida and this chick. So she was in there. She was pilfering. What do you call it?
Shoplifting.
Shoplifting, yeah, that's it. And so they pick her up on the camera. So they go, these two guys come out, the employees, to catch her. And she goes, gets up on a one of those racks and gets up into the ceiling. This is a gigantic store, right? And she gets up in the ceiling and she won't come down. So taking the cops, the police, I like to say policemen, it's better than the other, and all got employees, like a dozen of each, and they're trying to get her down out of the ceiling, and it went on for 5 hours.
Yeah, I saw this story. Y'all picture this, that there, she is going from air, she's in a, like a drop ceiling, right? The way I understand it, like
right,
a drop ceiling.
Right. You push them up the panels, you know?
How she didn't fall through the panels, she must have not weighed a bunch, but she's crawling around, and like she's over in, you know, ladies' garments, and then she's over in hardware, and then she's...
Yeah, and then they reviewed the surveillance camera, and she came down twice, once to go to the bathroom and once to get something to eat. Yeah. So I'm saying, wow, that's 6.5 on Fridays, and the guys in Florida, this woman, she should get a bowling trophy.
For sure. Thomas, thanks for the call. Yeah, that's the kind of story that makes its way into 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig on Friday afternoons. Yeah, she, Christina Perkins.
Ah, well, she was, 5 hours you have to get down and eat something after
she's
a while.
The way they described it, the news story down there, it was like, you know, like a drop ceiling. We got one right above us here, but she's up in the drop ceiling crawling around, and they're saying, come down. And she's not coming down. She's crawling over there. The drop ceiling thing's it. I'm not a, we have them here. I know they're necessary in buildings for running duct work and lighting and certain things, but don't like the drop ceilings.
No. And when you move them, you get the stuff, the shower
of dust and flakes and all that stuff. And unfortunately here, there's like another room next to us that doesn't have a full wall going through. So their conversations or whatever they're eating for lunch that comes over and comes into this room. If drop ceilings were a good thing, you'd have them in homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People would say, you know what the living room needs?
A drop ceiling.
You need a drop ceiling here, Mr. Smith. I was looking at that, and that's really what the new trend is. Everybody's going with textured, whatever that stuff is, drop ceiling. So we're putting them in houses.
Yeah, you don't see it on the home remodeling shows. We're going to put in a drop ceiling.
On this week's Home Remodelers on HGTV, drop ceilings everywhere. If homeowners are crazy for this. All right, we'll do this all again tomorrow for Mobile Mornings. Of course, Midday Mobile starts at noon today. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, and you can get the three big things, top news stories of the day, online opinion poll questions, show schedules. You can stream. You can get the podcast there.
And we also got a text from a real doctor. Says what Triple J was missing was a phone. He needed to be face down in his phone while walking in the hallway.
See, if he would have done that, he had the surgical mask on and the phone. He'd have walked right past Okaloosa sheriff's deputies, but he's in the clink now for selling opium. All right. Mike Gallagher will take over next.